A lot of churches are getting out of the bus ministry and bragging about it, but I believe the bus ministry still works. And I would not be standing here in any sense at all if it weren't for a church bus that came around and picked me up. So I do get a little emotional when it comes to the bus ministry. And when I saw the bus pull up earlier and those people just coming off the buses, boy, that means something to me, because I can see in my mind's eye me coming off that bus and the Lord working in my heart and in my life. So I want to encourage you to keep on serving the Lord in that way. I want to take Sunday school, though, and I want to take a trip to Chicago. Whether you've been to Chicago or not, I want to give you a little glimpse of what inner city work is like. As I mentioned, we have been there for 10 years. We started the church from the beginning, from scratch, and now the church has been growing and growing and growing and has come to the place where we're full-time self-supporting. We started as a mission work, and a lot of churches got behind us with the intent of the church becoming self-supporting, and that's what the Lord has done. There's a lot more work to do in Chicago, but I just want to share with you a little bit of what it's been like and how the Lord has worked. There is a verse in Acts chapter 18 that the Lord used when I was seeking his face about what to do with my life as far as ministry. God had called me to preach, and I didn't know exactly what he wanted me to do, but I was in his word. And my freshman year in Bible college, I read this passage of scripture, and the Holy Spirit confirmed in my heart that I was to go back to Chicago in time and plant a church there. This is the verse that the Lord used in my heart. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse number 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Much people in this city. Chicago has 2.8 million people in the city limits, and it has been rightly and recently called Chirac. Chew on that for a little bit. Chirac. We have, without any doubt, the best pizza on earth. If you've never had Chicago deep dish pizza, one is enough for a meal, but nobody can stop with just one. You gotta have a few. It is unbelievable. We have the best pizza, and we also have the dubious title for having elected the worst president from Chicago, but we're grateful that he's moved down the road. When I was asking the Lord where he wanted us to go in the city's huge, and when I was asking the Lord where he wanted us to go, I wanted his direct leading. In other words, I didn't want to just pick a spot and go there because it was a good thing to do. I wanted to know that's exactly the neighborhood that God wanted us in, because I believe that he was calling us to a people, to specific individual people. And so I was praying, and the Lord led to a place in Chicago called the Hyde Park neighborhood. Okay, how many of you have ever been to Chicago? Raise your hand. Vast majority of you. How many of you have ever been to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago? Okay, most of you that have been to Chicago have been to that museum. That museum is the neighborhood where we started our church. Right there near the University of Chicago on the south side. It's a university neighborhood. There are lots of people that live there that I had no clue. I had no clue that these people lived there when God led me to that neighborhood. Really, no idea. I found that out after the Lord had already solidified that that's where we should go. Who lives in that area? Barack Obama's mansion is there. And for a while, our church was meeting just four blocks from his house. And we lived 5 years just two blocks from his house. I had no idea that when God led us to that neighborhood, that that neighborhood was about to catch national attention because of our junior senator that was running for president. Bill Ayers. How many have ever heard the name Bill Ayers before? Okay, Bill Ayers lives in that neighborhood. I had no clue. Louis Farrakhan, ever hear of that guy? Okay, that rat, okay? Right there in that neighborhood. Valerie Jarrett, ever hear of that name? Okay, right there in the Hyde Park neighborhood. Jesse Jackson, okay, he's not too far, just South Shore, just on the other side of our church is where Jesse Jackson lives. All of these characters. I'm trying to be kind today and nice. All of these characters, I had no idea that God was calling us to that neighborhood. And just mentioning some of those names tells you how it's really a graveyard for the type of church that we wanted to start. An independent, fundamental, Bible-believing King James church. That's not the type of area you go to start one of those churches. But that's exactly where God led us. And I'm so thankful. And I want to share with you a little bit of what it's been like as we also will look at the Word of God. Let's pray first. Father, I need your guidance and your direction. Pray for your power. And I pray that, Lord, we could get excited about what you've called us to do, whether it be in Jasonville, Indiana, or, Lord, whether it be in Chicago, Illinois, that we could just love people. Love you enough to get your gospel to them. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for the lives that have been changed as a result of this ministry here, Lord, just to see the faces and to shake hands with some of the folks and to hear some of the stories. Lord, we're thankful. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in Chicago. And we just pray that we'll be faithful to you until your son comes again. And we ask this in his name. Amen. First couple months in starting Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago, we saw a man and woman come to the Lord. They trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were convinced that they were to be married to each other. They really grew. We baptized them. They grew in the Lord, discipleship, and we set time aside to prepare them for their wedding, and the day came when they were supposed to be married. The wedding took place at the place where we were meeting, which was kind of like a neighborhood club, like a YMCA type situation. And when the wedding started, I noticed that there were a few guests there that were just grossly inappropriately dressed. And I was very concerned about that because I view a wedding like a church service, and I believe that God should be honored even in a wedding. And this wasn't like borderline where you could just look past it. It was insanely immodest. And so I went to the one individual that was the worst. And tried to work through the ladies to try to get it taken care of. If maybe just a shawl of some sort could be used, just something to make it more decent and proper. And there was very little response to what I was trying to accomplish. In other words, they were bucking the idea that I would want to have someone dressed decent and proper at a church wedding. And I said, well, this wedding will not go on. It will not go on. We will not continue the wedding as long as we have somebody here that's dressed like a whore. Not going to do it. And that comment made its way around that room inside about 5 minutes. And that young lady's boyfriend was present, who had just got out of jail and was about this tall, and came looking for the preacher that said that his girlfriend was dressed like a whore. He got right in my face, stood right here, and I looked up at him, and he said, I just have one question for you. Now, you could feel the tenseness. We're standing in a hallway. He just looked down at me and said, I have one question for you, and one question only. I knew who he was because he was related to the bride, and I knew he had just gotten out of jail. And he said, did you say that my girlfriend was a whore? I looked up at him and I said, no, I didn't. I said she was dressed like one. Didn't call her one. And somebody held him back, and we decided to go on with the wedding because the lady did cover herself. We wouldn't have gone on otherwise. But a comment made its way around the room that young man was going to go home and get his gun. And I knew that he was from the far west side of the city, and I knew that I live right there in the neighborhood, and I said to myself, well, I'm closer to my gun than he is to his. So I went home. I went home and I got my .38 special, which was illegal to own at the time in the city. But I have a constitutional right that says that I can keep and bear arms, and I believe that. And since then, they've caught up with the Constitution and they've drafted a concealed carry law. But I went home and I got my .38 special. I loaded it. The wedding, we went through with the wedding. The wedding was done. And here I am walking around a wedding reception, holding cake, smiling and shaking hands with a loaded .38 special in my pocket, watching this guy. That was my introduction to church planning in Chicago. And I thought, wow, we're in for a ride. And amazing the things that have happened. We had one special day where it was friend day. And we really went out and invited our friends. We're going to have a guest speaker. A gospel messenger is going to be preached. And to make a long story short, we had over 200 people there, lots of visitors. It was great to see. And these weren't just, you know, street people. We reach a lot of street people and we're glad for it. But these were people that were realtors and bankers and people that we do business with as a church. And we were all excited about this day until a gang fight broke out in our church. And not a good way to introduce visitors to Cornerstone Baptist Church. And we had two teenagers that were being worked with on our bus route. And both of them were gang affiliated. Both of them wanted to be in church. But they were rival gangs with each other. They wanted to kill each other. And so I made the rule. I said, boy A can come, boy B can come, but they can't come on the same Sunday. We want to reach them, and we want to preach the gospel. We want to see them get saved. You can bring them, but the rule was, don't you ever bring them on the same Sunday. Well, we had a driver that day that didn't know the rule. Just started driving for us, and boy A came, and boy B came on the same Sunday. And they all sat in the back. If you could just imagine the back row packed with teenage boys from the south side of the city of Chicago. And there was a calm over the service, but underneath that calm, I knew something was brewing. You know how you can just feel it? And I'm sitting there in the back, and I'm watching these guys, and I'm saying, ooh, this is not good. This is not good. And as soon as the service was over, we had food prepared. As soon as the service was over, I told one of the drivers, I said, you take this whole row. You do not take them to the food. You get them in the van, and you take them home right now. Right now. If I could just remove that element, then I felt like we would have a chance at keeping things from going awry. So the worker did what I said. He got everybody inside of the church van, that whole row, and he's pulling off. I'm watching the van pull off. I wasn't going to leave sight of those guys until I knew that they were gone. I'm watching them in the van. The doors are closed. They're about to pull off. Boy A is in the van. Boy B just walks out of the church. All of a sudden, the van doors fly open. All of those boys jump out of the van, and a brawl takes place right in front of our church as the visitors are walking out. It's not the worst part. The worst part is it lasted for about 20 minutes. We had workers, junior church workers, flying out of their classes, jumping in the melee. Shirts were flying off. Punches were being landed. It was terrible. The police were called. guns were threatened to be brought back to the church. And we felt as if our ministry was over. This was about 3 years ago. We thought our ministry was over. And we met the next week and we sat down, we made a list of about 20 kids that were somehow attached to that thing that we said, these kids can't come back. They just simply can't come back to church. Those kids took, of course, their siblings and friends that weren't a problem, but if, you know, brother can't come, little brother can't come. So we lost 50 kids off of our bus ministry that fast, within 1 week. And but God got us through it. This is inner city church planting. I've seen more red tape. Red tape in Chicago means somebody died. Homicide. Okay, there's yellow tape, but then there's red tape. And I grew up in the city of Chicago. If you could just imagine, I've seen all of these things before, but I've never seen it like I've seen it just this past year. And so everything that you're hearing about as far as Chicago, it's true. It's bad. It's gotten real bad. And we have one of our teenagers, he's actually serving the Lord right now in our church and off the bus ministry. He was attending a funeral at a church around the corner from my house just about 3 months ago. And the funeral got shot up. Okay, the funeral is letting out and people are coming out of the church and there's people just waiting there to shoot up the people coming out of the funeral. This is the city of Chicago. Recently, and I told your pastor about this, we had just about 5 minutes from my house. A lot of this stuff is right near my house, ironically. five minutes from my house, a man was just crossing the street. Just crossing the street. And a drunk driver came out of nowhere, hit that man, drug him 7 blocks underneath his car, decapitated him. All the man was doing was crossing the street. Drunk driver. City of Chicago. In 1 weekend in August, 72 people were shot. 1 weekend. A couple Christmases ago, I was at the Walgreens right around the corner from my house. Christmas Day. And I've always wondered how would I react if one of the members of my family, if their life was in imminent danger. I've always wondered, how would I react? We talk, we say what we would do, but I've always just wondered, how would I react? Let me tell you, it's like instinct. It's like instinct. I was in Walgreens buying Christmas batteries for some Christmas toys for my kids, and I open up the minivan door to let my daughter in. And all of a sudden, I just hear it open fire. Just, I mean, it's close. This isn't like, you know, 4 or 5 blocks away. I hear it right where I'm at. Pow, 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 pow. Just, I heard about 15, 20 shots. And without even thinking about it, you don't think about it, really. It's just a reaction. It's just like hot water and you snatch your hand back. I threw her in the van and I jumped on top of her just like this. And when the gunfire was done, we got in the van and went home. And I found out a couple hours later that 5 people had just been killed right there within ear sound of where I was standing. And this is what Chicago is like. We have a lady in our church, 2 times she was standing at a bus stop to go to work. And there was an attempt to kidnap her, to abduct her. In other words, some men came out to try to throw her into a van and drive off with her. They never succeeded. But this is what it's like. I mentioned my 38. I don't carry that as much anymore, but I have a concealed carry permit now. And I carry a 45 whenever I'm preaching. Not now. Okay. But when I'm in Chicago, when I'm in the pulpit, I've got my 45 right there. My shield, my Smith & Wesson shield. That's a good piece. It really is. And we're still a relatively young church, and so I've got some good men now, some deacons that are working on. They just got their class taken care of. They make it hard for us in Chicago. You've got to take a 16-hour course and pay a bunch of money, but then you can get your concealed carry license. And so, you know, you say, why on earth would you go to a place like that. Verse number 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Paul went to specific regions or provinces, and he chose the largest, most dynamic cities to start his works. That can't be refuted. And I believe that we should not lose our heart for where the majority of the people are at. Water runs downhill, you see. And if we start with the largest cities, it'll work its way down to the rest of the country. I believe that. But we have the example of Paul saying, where's the largest city? Where are the people at? Where are the most dynamic cities in the area? That's where I'm going. His focus was on the big cities of the Roman world. And in this passage, it's Corinth in particular. And he comes to Corinth, he finds Aquila and Priscilla. They get saved. They follow the Lord already. They know of the Lord. These are God-fearing people. And then some Jews get saved in the synagogue that they're preaching in. And then some Gentiles get saved. They get the Jews kicked them out of the synagogue. The unbelieving Jews did. So Paul says, fine, I'm going to go to the Gentiles then. And some Gentiles get saved, and the church at Corinth was born. Look at verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. The apostle Paul was about to be in imminent danger, and God knew that. He would be brought before the Roman governor, Gallio. And hard things would be said. The Jews were hopeful that they could get him condemned to die. All of this was in front of Paul. And so the Lord Jesus gave him some words of comfort to strengthen him before the battles. And I'm thankful that God gave me this verse to strengthen me in a real sense before some of the battles that I just mentioned. And by the way, I could go on and on about the battles, but I never get to my lesson. But God's been so good. So good. I am with you. To know that Jesus has been with us in the city of Chicago makes all of the difference in the world. To know that we have his presence. For I am with thee. No man's going to set on thee to hurt thee. Back of my mind, I said, Farrakhan's boys, when they know that I'm preaching against the Nation of Islam and I'm preaching against heretical teachings, heretical. It's amazing what they can get people to believe. The black Muslims, Farrakhan's boys, their doctrinal statement, if you will, their doctrinal statement is that white people were invented in somebody's basement in Detroit, and it was a scientist down there that was mixing some chemicals and mixed the wrong chemicals, and that's how white people came about. I said, one of those guys, I get up there and decry that garbage, I'm going to get martyred, I'm going to get shot. These are all concerns before heading into the city to start our work. But this verse gave me comfort. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that that's how it happened. But he promised his presence. I am with thee. Also his sympathy. Nobody's going to hurt thee. His support. I've got something for you there. There's much people in that city. And so Paul stays there at least a year and 6 months preaching, and God does some amazing things at Corinth. And we have the church at Corinth. Now, we know that church ended up having lots of problems, but they also had lots of commendation by the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So the Lord said, go start a church in Chicago. Go start a church in Chicago. In 1 year, we were in 80 churches presenting the need. Exactly 40 of those churches took us on for support. I asked them, just hang with us until the church can be self-supporting. That's our goal. That's our goal. And I'm a little bothered, if you could excuse me, by the fact that there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of independent fundamental Baptist churches in the suburbs of Chicago. And I'm further bothered by the fact that a lot of those churches originally started in the city. But when the city got too hot to handle, they ended up moving out to the suburbs. I'm not against churches being in the suburbs. We need churches in the suburbs, but we need churches in the city too. I can count on this hand how many independent fundamental Baptist churches that that I know of in the city of Chicago. That's a shame. That's a shame. The Muslims didn't move out as things got worse. The Jehovah's Witnesses didn't move out as things got worse. The Catholics didn't move out as things got worse. The Independent Baptists did. The Catholics had a goal that they wanted to have a Catholic church within walking distance of wherever you live in the city of Chicago, and they were able to accomplish that. It doesn't matter where you live in Chicago, you can walk out your door, and within 10 minutes, you can be at a Catholic church. But I can tell you this many independent Baptist churches to reach 3 million people. And so I have a burden. Part of my opportunity to be here is just to present the burden that I have for the city of Chicago. And what we're praying for, we've been praying very seriously for the past year, that God would help us to raise up preachers from our own church that we can train and send to other parts of the city of Chicago to start churches. And so as you're thinking about us, I would ask that you pray for us, that God would give us preachers. And actually, one of our young preachers is preaching in Sunday school for us this morning. Praise the Lord for that. He started on the bus routes about 7-8 years ago, and now he's preaching for us. And we Jesus said to pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He told us how to get workers. It just took us 9 years to figure it out what we needed to do. But we started a year ago praying very seriously for preachers, and it's amazing that we're starting to see God answer that prayer. What has the Lord done? Yeah, it's amazing what he's done. We've met in some temporary locations, but in 2015, he gave us a 15,000 square foot building. We have some solid men. I pray God give us some men. Give us some men. Our church could not go forward without the ladies that serve. But if anything's going to be accomplished for the Lord, we've got to have good, solid men. And I was very concerned, Lord, will we have some good men, strong men, that would want to help be leaders in the church? The Lord answered that prayer. We purchased the building, and we're filling it up. We have a bus ministry, junior church, Sunday school. We pass out John Romans all over the South Side. We go street preaching. We have a ladies' Bible study for our ladies. We have a very strong future youth group, because we have a lot of little kids in our church. Lot of little kids, and they're being born all the time. We have several young couples in the church, and they're just turning them out, man. And so we're gonna grow this church by hook or crook, and it's really exciting. Really been working on our music program. We preach every so often at Pacific Garden Mission, and we've seen fruit from that. The Lord's just been good. Your pastor came and preached for our 10th anniversary. And souls were saved that day. We had a bus kid that showed up that day that had not been to church in several years, lot of years. Lanique Mixon, and I just want to use her as an example this morning. Had rode our bus as about a 10-year-old, came back that day as an 18-year-old. Had already been saved. My wife led her to the Lord back when she was 10 or so, and then she showed up and she heard you preach. And I saw the tears all over her face when you were done preaching. She hasn't skipped a beat since she left. Amen. And I baptized her. Her next step is joining the church. She's very close to becoming a church member. We're very careful about receiving members. Very careful about that. And so God's just been working in ways like that. I could go on and on and on. We have a family. I'll just mention we don't have a Christian school, but we are 45 minutes away from Fairhaven, and so 13 of our kids attend school there. And pray about that. If the Lord wants us to start a Christian school, that He'll make it possible. But we have 13 kids from our church that go to Christian school. One of those families is the Murray family. They got a flyer in their door about, I'd say about 6 years ago, and came out to church. He got saved. The wife was already saved. And they just got excited and joined our church. They haven't skipped a beat. The Lord's been with us in that. We have two deacons that we ordained last year. That was a joy. We taught a lot of weeks on the qualifications for deacons and the duties for deacons, and it was a joy to ordain two men from our church to serve in the deacon's ministry. I like to mention the McWright family because it really was an encouragement to me at the beginning. At the beginning of a church plant, you want to see God do something. And we had about five people meeting, and Steve McWright and his living girlfriend at the time came in with their three little kids. And I did not know that he was coming. I didn't even know him. I did not know that he was spending $1,200 a month in alcohol. And he did not know that my entire Sunday morning message was on alcohol. And he got saved that day. And she got saved the next day. And they got married to each other. And he's one of our bus captains today. And I could go on and on. I can tell you that he does have much people in that city. And in spite of all of the obstacles, are the blessings that come from the hand of the Lord. People in the inner city are very angry. They're very much in a hurry. They're very distrusting. And you can understand why. There's always somebody trying to get over on them. And it makes it difficult to minister to them. But the Lord's given us success in the lives of many people, but we need prayers because there are strongholds in the city that can be felt in a different way than in rural areas. I'm not saying it's not here. I mean, I know rural areas are some of the rural areas are the meth labs that send that stuff into the city. I realize that, but there is an oppression. And that's very real as you drive up and down the streets of the city of Chicago, as you interact with people that are just very angry, very angry. You know, you come down, you get away from the city of Chicago, and perfect strangers will wave at you and say hi. You go back to the city and do that, and they look at you like you're retarded. You know, really? And so just angry. But even though there's obstacles, God is able. And if I could enlist just a few of you to pray for the Lewis family in Chicago, amen, that the Lord would continue to be with us and would bless. I covered those prayers. And some of you young men, don't put aside the fact that God might call you to the ministry, amen, and that He might lay on your heart a burden for the inner cities. Amen. Is it easy? Nope. If it were easy, there'd be more churches in Chicago. If it were easy. It's not easy. But if the Lord lays that burden on your heart, man, a New York, a Los Angeles, a Philadelphia, a Chicago, if the Lord lays that burden on your heart, then He'll be with you, and there'll be no harm on you that He doesn't allow. And by the way, you can be harmed in Jacksonville, Indiana, as well as Chicago, Illinois. God will protect you. He has people prepared there. And I believe my philosophy of soul winning is more, Lord, send me to the people that You've already prepared. You know, if somebody doesn't want to get saved, they have a free will. And I'm not going to stand there and try to force them into something that they don't want. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit has gone before me and has already prepared hearts. And then, Lord, just lead me to those people. And we're just thankful for what the Lord has done. Thankful to be here with you today, Pastor.